Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
The credit crisis hits California. Hello again, I'm Owen Olney, and this is Which Way LA, KCIW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. Last week, Governor Schwarzenegger told the U.S. Treasury Secretary California might need $7 billion in federal money just to pay bills. Now it appears the state budget, after all those months of wrangling, may have to be opened up again. What does it all mean for schools, law enforcement, and local governments? Can Republicans and Democrats fix a problem that everybody saw coming a long time ago? Also tonight, if you're behind on your mortgage payments, Countrywide may have a deal for you. First, here's the news. Warren Olney back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Everybody saw it coming, but there was no consensus on what to do, so the state of California may have to beg Washington for spending money. And the state budget passed 85 days late may have to be reopened so additional cuts can be made. We'll talk to some of the major financial players tonight. First, this story, Bank of America, the new owner of Countrywide, wants to get out from under charges of lending abuse. It has told California and other states that it will help mortgage holders struggling to make their payments to the tune of $8.7 billion for 400,000 borrowers. About 125 of those people live in California. The deal was negotiated by California Attorney General Jerry Brown. Scott Reichard is a business writer for the LA Times. And Scott, good to have you on our program.
Hi, Warren. Great. Glad to be here.
Tell us how this works and how a borrower would qualify to get assistance.
Well, Warren, it works mainly on two kinds of loans, which are subprime mortgages, and then a kind of loan called option arm loans. Both of them have payments that can go up after a few years, and they're the kind that have caused the most problems so far. Most of those borrowers, if they're having trouble, if they've become delinquent, will be contacted by people from Countrywide, Bank of America, starting December 1st.
Now, they will be contacted, so they don't have to figure out if they have a subprime or option arm loan themselves.
No, the bank said it was going to train people for about a month and then start calling out, reaching out to these folks on December 1st.
Now, these are people who are already behind on their payments. How do they know that they are legitimately behind on their payments and aren't just dogging it?
Well, I'm not sure. That's a good question. There's a lot of unanswered questions here. I'm not sure that they can know. They will have to, re-underwrite a lot of these loans because what they want to do is change the terms of them. But first they have to find out, can this person even afford it? A lot of these were liar loans. Maybe somebody, lost their job. Some of these will not be able to be reworked into loans going ahead. But they want to reach out and proactively try to find out as many people as possible and do it for them.
California is not the only state to agree to this. Florida and Texas have as well as something like five other states or six other states. Why are the states eager to go ahead with this?
Well, it's a way to get this thing settled. All of the states, or a bunch of the states, had filed suit right before Bank of America finished its acquisition of Countrywide on July 1st. And I think they wanted to get their claims on the record that Countrywide had somehow systematically, in order to kind of make money in the short term because they could sell these loans, had systematically kind of conned people into taking on loans that they couldn't afford ultimately. And so that was what the charges were. I think Bank of America knew very clearly that it was going to have to wind up either modifying a bunch of these mortgages themselves or they were going to go into foreclosure anyway. So this is a way of sort of formalizing the process and getting the states off your back at the same time.
Is this an admission of a systematic con?
They did not admit to anything in making this settlement. You rarely see that in settlements. But the fact that they're willing to modify loans for as much as $8 billion, I'm not sure it'll get there, but you could see that much if everybody participated. It's an acknowledgement that something needed to be done, certainly.
$8 billion, nationwide, $3.5 billion estimated here in California. Would this put pressure on other lenders of subprime and option arm loans to do the same thing?
Certainly the states hope so, and I think so. Everybody agrees that you need to move towards some sort of systematic way of dealing with these borrowers. You know, a place where it's been tried is over at IndyMac Bank, which got taken over by the FDIC. FDIC Chairman Sheila Bair said she really wanted to do that there. And they've been trying it now for some time. What I'm told over there is they find that in about a third of the cases, they just can't do it. There's just no way that even with loan modifications, you can reasonably keep somebody in a loan that they're going to pay back at a price that anybody can afford. Then about a third of them, they say they can do it. It really looks like it's fairly promising, and they can go ahead and work on that. And then there's about a third where they just have to sit down and go through it loan by loan and try to work through the issues and find out whether they can somehow keep people in an affordable loan.
So if it works, then they could reduce the number of foreclosures in California.
That's the idea, is to try to, in the cases where you can, try to get to these folks and change the loans before it goes into foreclosures. You know, lenders, certainly with the home prices down as much as they are, lenders have always said they lose money on foreclosures, but I don't think anybody's arguing now. You just lose a ton of money when you have to seize a house and then go through the foreclosure process.
Is there also help in here for people whose homes have already been foreclosed?
There is. There's some money. People whose homes have been foreclosed by Countrywide, yeah, it's not clear exactly how much, but there's something close to $30 million for them, and then there's another 20-some million for those who may wind up in foreclosure despite this later. So you would get some payments for people who've lost their homes.
Okay, a desperate situation for the people with the homes and apparently for the lenders as well. We'll see how it all works out. Scott Rickard, good to have you on our program.
Thanks a lot, Warren. Great being here.
Business writer for the Los Angeles Times. I'll be right back with Which Way LA.
For more information about Which Way LA or to sign up for the free podcast, visit kcrw.com/whichwayLA. CD copies are also available. Call 1-800-600-KCRW.
We're on only back with Which Way LA. Governor Schwarzenegger and the state legislature may have to reopen the budget passed grudgingly after Republicans and Democrats deadlocked for 85 days past the date it was due. In the meantime, California schools, law enforcement, and local governments may be at risk unless the state gets a $7 billion short-term loan from Washington and gets it soon. H.D. Palmer is Deputy Director of the Department of Finance. As always, good to have you on our program.
Good to be here, Warren.
Governor Schwarzenegger raised the issue of this loan in a letter to the Treasury Secretary last year. He was praising the federal rescue package, hoping that it would pass. It did pass. Does that take the pressure off California?
Not yet. As the governor said in San Diego on Friday, it is a very positive step that the Congress finally did pass this measure and the president signed it swiftly into law. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're out of the woods just yet. We believe that over time, this rescue package will have helped greatly to reopen the credit window, if you will. The question is, when is that window going to open and under what terms and conditions will it open? And we also have a situation where John Chung, the state's controller, has indicated that we will have exhausted our cash reserves by about October the 28th. So we are preparing to go to the market. We've been working very closely with Treasurer Lockyer and his staff in all of the preparatory work that's necessary to go to the markets next week to sell up to $7 billion in what are called revenue anticipation notes, our traditional short-term cash flow borrowing. But as a prudent contingency, the governor wanted to extend a request to Secretary Paulson to consider acting as a plan B, if you will, should there be some difficulty in accessing the credit markets in their normal fashion. So consider it a two tracks on a potential multi-track strategy where we're working with the Treasurer and the Controller to ensure that California will have enough cash on hand to be able to meet its obligations in a timely manner.
Did Secretary Paulson respond and say, sure, our money is available if you need it?
Well, the governor hadn't made a formal request. He just indicated that he may want to pursue this with him as we go forward this week and perhaps into next. Governor Schwarzenegger spoke by phone with Secretary Paulson this past Friday to further discuss the letter and the idea. He congratulated Secretary Paulson for the hard work he did in shepherding this rescue package through the Congress. And we will continue to have communication with the Treasury's department as the week goes forward.
Why is it necessary to sell bonds or borrow from Washington just to meet ongoing expenditures, the daily cash flow problem?
Well, because the normal credit markets, in which we would normally do our cash flow borrowing for our day-to-day operations, are locked up as a result of the credit crisis. I think it's important to note that we do this type of cash flow borrowing even in good budget years because we get the bulk of our revenue in the state in April, the cruelest month for the taxpayer, if you will, but the most critical month of many months for the state. When we get that revenue, doesn't neatly line up at the times during the fiscal year when we have to make certain payments, whether or not it's payments to K-12 schools or to Medi-Cal providers or any other entity of state government. So in order to smooth out the imbalance between when we get our revenues and when we have to pay our bills, this type of cash flow borrowing is a normal matter, of course, for the state. And if the credit markets were not seized up as the way they are now, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We would have gone to a market now that a budget's in place, and this would have been taken care of. But we are facing an extraordinary time, which is why we are looking to on a variety of different alternatives to our traditional going to the markets. And we've been blessed by having great cooperation with Treasurer Lockyer and his staff in that endeavor.
H.D. Palmer, Deputy Finance Director for Governor Schwarzenegger, neatly setting us up for our next guest, who is Bill Lockyer, the Treasurer of the State of California. And it's always good to have you on our program.
Thanks, Warren.
Always good, except under circumstances like this. What about this $7 billion for the short term? Are you going to be able to sell the bonds to cover it?
Well, we don't know yet. We hope so. We're checking the market regularly each hour or so to see if other things are moving, commercial paper and so on. And so far, the freeze is there, though we're hopeful that the Washington measures will sort of free things up and provide a different liquidity in our markets.
Why should they do that, if you can explain that in briefly to a lay audience and a lay a moderator? Why would the kind of action taken on Friday free up this sort of market?
Well, two things. We sell our notes and bonds and so on to both large institutional investors like money market funds, hedge funds, insurance companies, and financial institutions. And in that financial services arena, there's been kind of a constriction. People are worried about the debt that they're carrying, worrying about making deals with each other. And so it's just had an effect to freeze that segment of the market. And then a lot of bonds are purchased by individuals directly from a broker somewhere or through a money market fund and so on. And individuals have been buying very, very safe things. So they've, I think, in some ways overreacted, but have gone to treasuries and buying treasury notes, some with virtually no interest rate benefit to them at all. Well, our bonds, of course, our notes are tax exempt, are absolutely secure. People are going to get paid back and so on. So they're constitutionally guaranteed. There's a continuous appropriation. So budget squabbles in Sacramento don't affect our ability to pay debt on the bonds. So we think they're a good investment. We're going to have to figure out how to go to the market and talk to individuals about these sorts of investments rather than something that would have a lower yield.
State Treasurer Bill Lockyer, back to H.D. Palmer with the Finance Department. In the governor's letter to the Secretary of the Treasury, he says that California is uniquely sensitive to national and international economic conditions and fluctuations. Why is it uniquely sensitive?
Well, we are. If you took our gross state product and stood it alone, we would be the eighth largest economy in the world. And we have a great amount of our economy is affected by exports to and from a variety of different regions around the world. And so more so than perhaps any other state, we have a lot of sensitivity to what happens overseas. So as we've seen over the weekend, one of the things that's contributed to the credit situation we have at the beginning of the week is a number of the European banks have been going through their own kind of gyrations, as it were. So, but just because of our size and because of our diversity, we are more sensitive to international developments than other states and their economies.
Bill Lockyer, back to you, or the treasurer of the state. There are bonds in California unsold so far. There's various measures on the ballot to create even more bonds. What about the long-term picture?
Well, long-term, we assume that this will settle and that we'll be doing something much more like what we would do a year ago or the year before and so on, and that is be able to market long-term 30-year bonds, that there's investors that like that and like the tax-exempt feature and so on. So that's obviously a guess, but that's the likely outcome somewhere along the road here. Now, we have this short-term problem of needing to borrow fairly quickly in order to pay the bills in November and subsequently. And so if we'd done this borrowing 3 months ago, it would have been fine. It just is a bad time right now.
State Treasurer Bill Lockyer and H.D. Palmer, the Deputy Director of Finance. Stay with us, if you will. I want to introduce Jim Mayer. He's Executive Director of California Forward. That's a bipartisan organization that advocates citizen-driven solutions to reforming state government. And it's not small potatoes. The co-chairs are Leon Panetta, a former Chief of Staff to the President of the United States, Thomas McKernan, the co-chair of, or the CEO, rather, the California Automobile Association. This organization was put together to try to forestall issues like this by advocating various kinds of reforms. Jim Mayer, first of all, welcome. And secondly, should people have seen this coming?
Good afternoon. You know, it's possible we could have seen this coming, and many of the reforms that we've been talking to Californians about and that we're working to develop would certainly make it position the governor and legislature in a better position to be making fiscal choices as we go through both the good times and the bad times. You know, if you can look at the kinds of budget reforms that have been put in place in other states, and they kind of fall in two categories. They're the kind of guardrail reforms that discourage bad decision-making that ultimately result in deficits and extended debt during downtimes. But then there are also a set of reforms that encourage lawmakers and governors to be making smart fiscal choices to make sure that they're holding down costs and using dollars to get the best result that the public can get for its money and to be able to show the public what they're getting for their money. So we're working to discuss with the California leaders and with Californians some of those proposals with the goal of next year introducing a comprehensive set of reforms for consideration by the legislature.
Now, these would include these things that will probably put our audience to sleep, but to passing budgets on time, having multi-year budgeting instead of going year by year so you don't have so many unexpected or you don't have to argue about the budget every year, controlling volatile revenue. What does that mean?
Well, in California, we heavily rely on income tax that actually relies mostly on high wage earners. And so when good times are good, the state has lots of money. And when bad times are bad, it drops off more than in other states. And so part of our challenge is how do we manage that revenue over time? To the governor and legislature's credit, some of the reforms that they were able to put into this year's budget attempt to address this issue by making sure that revenue spikes in the revenue, money that comes in unanticipated between January and May, gets used for one-time purposes rather than built into the base. And that was one of the things that got us into this mess to begin with.
Now, the fourth thing that seems to be important is to evaluate programs, see if they're working, and take the money away if they aren't. Doesn't every governor always promise to do that?
Everybody promises it. It's a great idea, and the public actually loves this. We know this from public opinion research and conversations we've been having. The public actually knows what they want, and you can get pretty good bipartisan agreement. People want to know what their money's being used for and whether there's some results. They want to be able to trust a process that's open. They don't want a budget bill that's voted on without information being made available to the public. And so the kind of reforms that we're working to develop are the kinds of reforms that have been used in other states to improve fiscal decision-making. They're the kinds of things that win states A's from the Pew Center on Government instead of C's and D's, which is what California gets. But it's also the things the public says they want to see in this decision-making.
Jim Mayer again, Executive Director of California Forward. Back to Bill Lockyer, the Treasurer of the State of California. You have a very long career of serving in elective office. You were President pro tem of the State Senate. What do you think are the prospects now, given the nature of this crisis that we're dealing with and the possibility of having to borrow short-term money from Washington, that the governor and the legislature, the big five as they're called, the four legislative leaders, can actually sit down on Wednesday and figure out something that the rest of the legislature will then be willing to consider anytime soon?
Well, I think there's a lot of goodwill and intention to work together to solve problems. The unique or almost unique problem to California, which hopefully will wind up on the reform list someday, is that we and Arkansas and Rhode Island are the three states that require a two-thirds vote to adopt a state budget. And that allows sort of the extreme positions, never levy a tax, don't ever cut any program that we get from the right and the left, to basically cause a stalemate. And I think someday we're going to have to modernize our Constitution in that respect as well.
Jim Mayer, you didn't mention that one.
You know, we've included that voting thresholds should be considered as part of packages of reforms that result in increased public trust. You know, the reality is the public turned down that proposal by two-thirds vote in 2004, and even in some polling done right after the budget mess when you would have thought that the public support for lowering that would be high, it still didn't muster a majority of voters who thought that was a good idea. It's also not something that the Republicans put at the top of their list. So if you're trying to have a public interest bipartisan discussion about budget process, I think we have to be careful about how we do it. My own sense is that the public looks at that as a way to check, a check on the legislature that their money won't be misspent. And if we can put together a package of reforms that does a better job of making sure that their money is well spent and they know how that money is spent, then you're, I think you're in a position to ask them to trade out a bad solution for a good one.
H.D. Palmer, back to you, the Deputy Finance Director for Governor Schwarzenegger. What are the prospects or the possibilities that this state budget worked out over that long period of time with so much anger and political wrangling going on might have to be reopened?
We are obviously taking a look at where we are in our revenues. We're not expecting to have any of those nice surprises very soon, given where we, you know, the trends that we are seeing. And no final decision or formal decision has yet been made about perhaps coming back into session before January the 10th and when the governor would normally submit his budget. But on the issue of budget reform, I would concur with Treasurer Lockyer. I think people of goodwill really want to sit down and have a thoughtful discussion on this. I know that Daryl Steinberg, Senator from Sacramento and successor to Treasurer Lockyer as the incoming President pro tem of the Senate, has spoken very eloquently about wanting to begin discussions on reform and not having a rerun of the movie that we saw this summer. And we look forward to having those types of discussions with Senator Steinberg and others, because I think everyone, regardless of party affiliation, would agree that this can't happen again. We can't go through another 85-day, you know, knockdown, drag-out budget fight next year. It's just with the stakes are too high not to do that for us, that we can't do that again.
But Treasurer Lockyer, because of the reapportionment situation, the makeup of the legislature will be pretty much the same when it returns as it is now, with maybe a few faces changing, but not the parties changing. You'll still have that two-thirds issue. How do you get past it?
Well, you really don't. And what tends to happen is the newly elected members will be more liberal and more conservative and less willing to compromise their what they view as essential principles. So, you know, I'm not optimistic unless the leaders can put together an agreement. And while I share Mr. Mayer's general perspective about voters' view about the budget, I think, you know, he misstated one thing, which is the two-thirds vote measure that was before the voters also allowed tax increases to be adopted by a majority vote. I'm only suggesting that the budget be adopted by that. I don't think the voters are currently willing to make that change, partly because they don't trust the legislature or politicians generally, and so there's a need to do some other things perhaps that are intermediate. But if that doesn't get on the list, then all this other stuff is garbage.
Jim Mayer, so it doesn't appear that the glass is half full.
I think that there's I think that the interest and appetite was actually right, and it was Senator Steinberg at an event that we conducted in Sacramento a week or so ago in which we laid out some of these ideas that have moved other states forward, where there was general concurrence that these were the right things to be talking about in terms of building a system that not only would improve decision-making within the legislature but increase some trust and allow us to get to the two-thirds vote that the treasurer thinks is important.
And very quickly, Treasurer Lockyer, I forgot to ask you this. Given the state of the revenue picture in the midst of an economic crisis, do you think the state will have the money to get by on this budget, or is it going to have to reopen it?
I don't think we've got any conclusive numbers yet, and so we're waiting for some assessments from the revenue-generating Franchise Tax Board, Board of Equalization, and the Department of Finance to know those numbers. I think we'll get some preliminary sense of that in the next week or so.
Okay, we will be looking for that. And in the meantime, many thanks to you as Treasurer of the State of California, Bill Lockyer, and our other guests, H.D. Palmer, the Deputy Director of Finance, and Jim Mayer, Executive Director of California Forward. Which Way L.A., produced tonight by Christian Bordahl and Karen Radziner. Our technical director is Mike Newport. I'm Warren Alney. Join us again for Which Way L.A. on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way L.A. is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.